Bucky McCaw with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. I was at a little soiree with several New Yorkers recently who knew about the Backyard Chicken Broadcast, and one of them approached me and said, "Dude, I really want to get chickens in my backyard. My wife's involved in the community-supported agriculture group in our neighborhood, and we want to live sustainably and all that. We're just figuring out how can we talk our neighbors into it." This is one of the five most common remarks people make to me. And it's really a combination of all the most common remarks. Meaning, I'm worried that chickens in my backyard will be noisy, unsightly, unhygienic, or chaotic. As far as the neighbors are concerned, I'm no psychologist, but it sounds like those folks are projecting. Because if you really know your facts about chickens, and are truly confident about getting started with them, I suspect you wouldn't be worried about neighbors at all. The only time anybody needs to worry about how your neighbors feel about chickens on the property is if you live in one of the cities, towns, or neighborhoods where chickening is prohibited. Most cities do allow chickens. The list of chicken-friendly cities include Boise, Idaho, Portland, Oregon, San Francisco, and New York, and many more. You can Google chicken laws for a list. In the case of places where it's not strictly legal, like surprisingly a lot of Canadian cities, you might, depending on your personality, want to go ahead and be an outlaw chickener until those ill-informed laws and codes can be changed. And if so, you will definitely want the cooperation of your neighbors, who, if disgruntled, can put an end to your chickening ambitions with one phone call. In cases where you really do need your neighbor's blessing, I'll get to what you can say or do to try to get and keep them on board the Bucky McCaw agenda. But first, I'd like to pose the rhetorical question: would you ask your neighbors, or would your neighbors ask you, for permission before planting a rose garden, installing a swimming pool, buying a motorcycle, adopting a dog, or having children? If not, why not? Because the fact is, all those things I mentioned are potentially noisy, smelly, a public health hazard, or simply chaotic. And as with chickens, when approached responsibly, none of those choices are an intrusion on the rights of neighbors. People don't ask for permission because those things are the norm, and the Bucky McCaw agenda is that small flocks of chickens in suitable yards and gardens across North America should be the norm as well. It was the norm in towns, cities, and even suburbs until as little as half a century ago, and is still the norm on much of the planet. Chickens provide non-toxic pest and weed control, supercharge your garden with their nutrient-rich and compost-accelerating poop, and are charming as heck. And they provide fresh, nutritious, delicious eggs, and sometimes meat, without the need for factory farms and corporate distribution networks that waste energy and generate pollution. Why should you ask permission from your neighbors for improving your own, and even their, quality of life? I understand wanting to be on good terms with neighbors, but from a strategic point of view, if you ask for permission first, you'll be putting ideas in their heads that there will be noise, odor, germs, or chaos. If you discreetly start up with chickens, chances are they won't even notice right away. I know of many chickeners who raise two or three hens for weeks, even months, before the neighbors figured it out. When they do figure it out, you can say, "Well, you haven't noticed yet. If you have a complaint, let me know and we'll address it." The worst case scenario would be that you'd have to abandon your experiment, finding new homes, or even eating your flock. But I think that's highly unlikely, and you'll never know if you don't try. What's more likely is that your neighbors will be fascinated and delighted with your chickens, and will even take pride in the fact that they live in a chickening neighborhood. And some neighborhoods, such as the Red Hook neighborhood in Brooklyn, New York, who I plan to profile in a future show, they will be inspired by your example to have chickens of their own. One suggestion I hear from other chickeners is, offer to share the eggs with them. I'm not entirely keen on that, because in my experience, 3 to 4 hens, laying an average of 5 eggs a week, roughly 10 months of the year, will not lay enough for you to share, especially if you get the smaller breeds of chickens I usually recommend for urban chickeners. Perhaps you could offer to share some of the increased vegetable yield you'll get with them, or offer to share some of your chicken poop fertilizer. Personally, I wouldn't make any promises I might not be able to keep. Bribery is rarely a sustainable strategy in community building. I'd focus on allaying their fears and maybe surprise them with a gift later. Now, my replies to the most common fears. Noise. Only roosters are noisy. I've done a broadcast in defense of roosters, but for the vast majority of city and town birders, you should only be raising hens anyway, for legal and practical reasons. Remind your neighbors you do not need roosters to protect hens, or for hens to lay eggs. Hens do not crow loudly, and mostly just make a gentle cooing sound, slightly louder, but even more soothing than a kitty cat's purr. Occasionally they cluck excitedly, but at their worst, they're still only a fraction the decibel level of dogs, teenagers with stereos or amplified instruments, airplanes and car traffic, and other urban noises we all learn to ignore. Smell. A properly maintained coop does not smell. Chicken poop dries quickly in an open-air coop and is incorporated into the soil either naturally or by enthusiastic gardeners. Chickens eating bugs, weeds, kitchen scraps, and organic feed generate poop that contains a fraction of the ammonia that's in the poop of massive flocks fed processed additive-laden kibble. Vermin. Coops that are kept clean with the minimal amount of hygiene required by small flocks do not attract vermin. Only rotting food, broken eggs, or sick chickens generate the scent that will attract bad critters, and you will not let those things happen. Bird flu. Bird flu erupts in overcrowded conditions and is spread from coop to coop by industrial distribution networks. The last time there was a major outbreak of bird flu that spread to humans was 100 years ago, when it was cultured and spread by trench warfare. Currently, maps of bird flu outbreaks follow rail lines, where factory birds are transported. Wild birds very rarely spread flu, because sick and dead birds don't fly. Indeed, the best way to eliminate virulent bird flu would be to replace factory farms with microflocks nationwide. But just in case, follow the USDA's simple hygiene recommendations. Ugly structures. Chicken coops can be quite lovely. Heck, Martha Stewart has chickens. You can easily print out pictures of coops from the website mypetchicken.com or an issue of Backyard Poultry magazine. Show that to your neighbors. Personally, I recommend keeping it cheap and simple, but if you're trying to please your neighbors, you may want to invest in one of those trendy little coops. You'll still eventually get your money's worth in eggs, better gardening, and fun. If you need more details, I've done at least one broadcast focusing on each of these issues. My shows are archived on radioforall.net, and the shows are labeled by topic. If your neighbors don't believe what you say to them, I'd humbly suggest you can try to get them to listen to my broadcasts. I think of myself as a radical, but I've found that most people find my shows amusing and non-threatening and very persuasive. Another idea for skeptics is to take them to a working coop that you admire and show them firsthand that their fears are unfounded. Finally, as a chicken promoter, chicken propagandist, and as some even call me, chicken evangelist, I submit to you that you owe it to your neighbors to open their eyes to all that chickening has to offer them. Don't shirk your community responsibility to lead by example towards a food sustainable, food secure, and food fun future. This is Bucky Bacaw. I had a good time. Bucky Bacaw.